So we're going to come to God's Word now and read. We're doing a series on the fruit of the Spirit. That comes as a phrase that we find that comes really from Galatians chapter 5. And the focus verse is this. It says, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And today we're going to be thinking about faithfulness. That's the theme of our worship this morning. If you've got a Bible, open it up in front of you. That would be really helpful, particularly as we make the points we're going to be reading a passage from 2 Timothy. Timothy was one of Paul's colleagues. He was a young assistant that Paul called to work with him and serve alongside him. And Timothy is known as, in some circles, he's known as timid Timothy because he was a little bit frightened and a little bit fearful of the role that God had given him and that Paul had called him to fulfill. So we're going to use him as a bit of a lesson this morning to discover how do we remain faithful to the faithful God in the midst of everything that happens to us in life. So let's read from 2 Timothy chapter 1. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Let's pray before I say any more. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us today through it. And all of us are called to be people of faithfulness. Speak to our hearts and to our minds this morning that we might live faithful lives, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So faithfulness is something that we need right now. We need faithfulness to God, and we need faithfulness to one another. I was reminded of that this week. I heard of some friends of mine, some of my oldest friends, I guess, whose marriage has come to an end, and it reminds me that faithfulness to one another is not an easy thing to sustain. And faithfulness to the Lord, for some of us, is not an easy thing to sustain either. And one of the things I think that affects our faithfulness often is fear, fearfulness. I'm reminded when I was younger, my mum and dad had a dog. His name was Mac. He was named after my dad. My dad was known as Mac. And this dog was a lovely, faithful, loving creature. And whenever I visited, I'd left home at this point, but whenever I visited, I would take him for a walk. And it's a well-known fact that dogs can spell. I don't know if you were aware of that, but they are able to spell. So we had to be careful around the use of the word W-A-L-K, because he only had to hear that word and he would be at the door wanting to get out. So here I would go and visit and take this dog for a walk. And one day I was down visiting and I took him out, and we took him. I took him for a long walk into the countryside, and we were walking along a river, and the river bank was a little bit high. I crossed over at a ford, and he couldn't find the spot and fell in the river and began to drown and managed to get to the surface, and then did a runner home. He just ran off, and about half an hour later, I got home, and there was Mac on the doorstep, shivering. In the cold, he was still wet. And what was really interesting was after that, whenever I went to visit, I could spell walk or I could say walk, and he would never come with me. He was no longer faithful to me because he associated me with a fearful experience. So his faithfulness had somehow degenerated and disappeared. He would still come and give me a cuddle, but there's no way he was going to walk with me because he associated me with falling in the river. And fear can do that to us sometimes. It can damage our faithfulness. It can damage our trust in the Lord and trust in one another. So what do we do in the face of that? Well, let me suggest a few things that might be helpful. We're going to use the passage that we had before us from 2 Timothy to help us think a little bit about this morning. So how might we overcome fear? I wonder what you're fearful about today. I know there's a lot of fear around. People are fearful of the coronavirus. They're fearful about what lies in the head for the economy and jobs and our livelihood. And some of us are working all the harder, harder kind of working environment in order to sustain our job and keep our job. We're worried about what's happening. We're fearful about what lies ahead. We're fearful about mingling with other people because we don't want to get ill. We don't want to fall ill and we don't want to die. And that might cause us to be a little bit lacking in faithfulness. Faithfulness to the Lord, faithfulness to one another, faithful to the body of Christ, which we're also called to be faithful to. So what do we do? What do we do in the face of that? Well, let me suggest a few things that might help us. First of all, this. In order to overcome our fear and remain faithful, it's important that we have reassurance, that we spend time reassuring one another. We see that in verses 3 and 4 very clearly. We see it very clearly in this passage. I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Now, where do we find reassurance? Where's Paul offering reassurance in these verses? Well, let me suggest a few things. First of all, there's gratitude. I am thankful for you. Paul says that very clearly in these verses in verse 3. I'm thankful for you. When I remember you, I am thankful for you. Thankfulness is such an important thing, isn't it? We need to express that. When people do little things for us or big things for us, particularly the little things, don't take them for granted. Be thankful. Be thankful for the people who are taking an interest in you, who are helping you out, who are supporting you. If you live with someone, be thankful to them constantly. Maybe that has been taking a bit of a beating over recent months because we've been living in such close proximity to one another. We have a little bit more freedom now, but we can take it for granted. At a spiritual level, we ought to be thankful for one another, for the influences that people have had on us, the support that people have given to us down through the years. Not only to be thankful in our hearts and with our heads, but with our lips to express that to one another. I am thankful for you. It's such an important thing, isn't it? A friend of mine contacted me a few weeks ago. I was feeling a little low. He didn't know I was feeling a little low, but I was having a low day, as we all do. And he just contacted me to say, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for me over the years and for the support you've been and the encouragement that you've been to me. I just wept because it was such a powerful reminder of God's care for me. The Lord knew what I needed that day, and there he sent that friend to remind me of it. Being thankful helps us overcome our lack of faith and our doubt, reminding one another to be thankful. So that's the first thing that we might take. I am thankful for you, Paul says. Let me see faithfulness at work. What shape does faithfulness take? What does it look like to be faithful? There again in verse 3, Paul says very clearly, he's not just thankful for Timothy, he prays for him. I'm praying for you, Timothy. I'm here for you in prayer. I wonder, you know, sometimes people, things go wrong in people's lives and things that are really hard to speak into or to offer any support. It's a really difficult thing to know sometimes what to say. I've had a few situations like that this week, just listening to people and trying to reach out to a few people. And I don't know the solution. I don't know the solution to their problems, the things that they're facing. There are no easy solutions. But one of the things I can do, and possibly the most important thing I can do, is to be praying. It's a sign of my faithfulness to God and to the people that I know and I care for, that I pray for them. Who are you praying for today who needs your prayers? Paul says, I'm praying for you. I'm thankful for you. I'm praying for you. He also says this, I want to spend time with you. I want to have fellowship with you. It's a difficult time, isn't it? We want to spend time with one another. We're missing being in church and fellowshipping with one another after church and meeting with one another. Last week when we were able to get together online, there were about 25 cameras online, probably about 40 people in total came into the Zoom room. And I could see that people were so delighted to be with one another, even if it was only in a virtual way. We miss that with one another. And spending time with one another is a vital thing, isn't it? And even if we are the introverted, at the introverted end of the spectrum, we need one another. We need people around us. So whether we're someone who likes the company of others or struggles more with the company of others, spending time with one another in the physical is an important part of being the body of Christ. We're connected with one another, and so we long to be together. But during this pandemic, we have to be careful. The loving thing is to be careful with one another, to be sensitive to one another, and not to force one another to do things which are going to be too difficult or too painful. But we need to spend time with one another. The ecclesia, the church gathering, is of vital importance. Being around one another, listening to one another, talking to one another, holding one another, hugging one another. Some of those things we cannot do right now for good reasons, for absolutely good reasons. But we will return to that, to those things one day. And one day we will be able to do those things. They are vital. And in the meantime, when we can't do them, what we need to say to one another is, you know, I want to spend time with you. Now, that might just be a call, a Zoom call, a video call, a phone call. It might be we can sit in one another's gardens. It might be doing that. Holding one another, saying, I want to spend time with you. It's been too long since I've seen you. That is an encouragement, and it helps build up our faithfulness to one another. And in so doing, you know, we're told in the Bible we should sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another, that when we get together, it's not just about the company of one another. It's maybe an encouragement right now to say, you know, let's pray together. Let's come into the Lord's presence consciously together. I want to spend time with you. So Paul says that, verse 4, he wants to spend time with Timothy. He wants to be in fellowship with him. Then he shows empathy in verse 4 as well. I know what you're going through. I know the tear. I've got tears. You've got tears. I know the pain that you're going through. I have been there as well. And that helps us in the face of the fears that we're experiencing. And maybe the slight slacking off of our faith, to be encouraged to know that others have maybe been where we are and are going through it and are able to express that to us. That is such a powerful thing for any human being to experience. Now, sometimes it doesn't necessarily make us feel good to know that someone else is going through it, but to express empathy, to express the fact that we are alongside one another and it is not completely outside of our experience. It's great that Paul expresses that to Timothy. Some people don't like Paul because they feel he's a bit hard and a bit harsh. You could not be so far from the truth about Paul. Here is this empathetic man of God who knows what it is to suffer and is alongside young Timothy, offering him support. I know what you're going through, Timothy. because I've been there too. And then the last thing is blessing. In verse 4, Timothy, you are a blessing to me. You're a blessing. You're a joy to me. That's an encouragement, isn't it? To know that you're a blessing to someone. You bring blessing by your very presence. All of us can be a blessing to one another. We can be an encouragement to one another. And Timothy probably felt, I can't be a blessing to anyone right now. I'm really struggling. But Paul reminds him, you, Timothy, you are a blessing. Not you were a blessing. You are a blessing. When I think of you, it brings joy to my heart. You are an encouragement to me. And so I want to encourage you. So there we are. We overcome fear and remain faithful by reassuring one another. Who do you need to reassure today? Who do you need to be a reassuring figure, a reassuring person to today? What do you need to speak out into their lives? And maybe you need reassurance today as well. Well, all those things are true of you. They can be true of you. Be a blessing to others. We also overcome fear in some other ways, and just very quickly, we overcome fear and remain faithful by remembering what Jesus has done in our lives. Do you remember what it says in that passage about the past, about what the Lord has done in the family of Timothy? I'm just going to bring it up again so you can see it if you don't have the Bible in front of you. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice also. Here is a sincere faith. Timothy, you've been a person of faith. Your family are people of faith. Jesus worked in their lives. The Holy Spirit was at work in their lives and has been at work in you. I need to remind you of that. And it's good to remember. That's why remembering is so important. Remembering what the Lord has done in your life. It's one of the reasons why we struggle at the moment, because we're not taking communion. It's the longest period of not taking communion that many of us will ever have experienced. But we've decided not to take communion, even to do it online, because not everybody will be able to participate in it. So we wait for that day when we're able to remember communion. But you know, we don't need the bread and wine in order to remember all that the Lord has done for us in Jesus, do we? We don't need the elements, the bread and the wine, in order to do that. But we can remember daily what Jesus has done in our lives, the heritage that we have, the walk that we have. That helps us to remember God's faithfulness in the past and in the present. Will you do that today? Will you remember God's faithfulness to you? We overcome fear and remain faithful by remembering what Jesus has done in our lives. We also overcome fear and remain faithful by rekindling the gifts that God has given to us. Kindle into flame the gifts that the Lord has given to you. And that's what Paul says to Timothy. Don't let them lie dormant. Don't relax. Don't think you can have a holiday. You've got to fan them into flame. You've got to use the gifts that you have been given. So it's a positive vision, isn't it? Some of us are cynical, and I'm a little bit cynical at the moment. I'm, again, watching the news, and I'm cynical about, you know, who's saying what and what's going to happen and what's the hope that we're living into at the moment, and will there be a vaccine? I'm a little bit cynical about all of that, and I need to guard my heart about that, about all of that, and to be positive about what is happening, and to say, Lord, we want to see you at work. But I mustn't rest on my laurels. I need to fan into the flame the gifts the Lord has given to me, so that he might be glorified and people might be served. That's a calling on all of us. If you are going to be a faithful person, it's one of the things that you'll do. You'll be faithful in using the gifts that the Lord has given to you. Whether that is hospitality or welcome, whether it's loving and caring for others, whether it's the stuff that I get to do, whether it's working in the community, fan into flame those things that the Lord has called you to. We also overcome fear and remain faithful by relying on God's strength. Right now, it'd be easy for us to rely on my own power and my own strength. Every day I have to remind myself, Lord, I need you. one of the disciplines that we've got into in our home is to go for a walk daily. We've been a little bit lax this week. We haven't managed to get out every morning in the way we have. We still manage to walk every day. And part of that is, you know, we're giving a devotion as well, doing an online devotion. And a part of that is reminding myself to rely on God. I cannot do any of this in my own power and in my own strength. As we look at what Timothy was experiencing, we see that. For the Spirit God gave does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. We're called to be people who receive the Spirit of God, who enables us, who equips us. The Spirit he gives us doesn't make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Timothy, Paul says, you're relying on your own goods, your own stuff, when you ought to be relying on God's strength, on God's power. He's given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. So today, if you're struggling to be faithful, what is it that you need? What is it that you're looking for? Where are you? Who are you going to cry out to? Cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your strength. I've got no strength at all. I am feeling weak and powerless. And we know from the scripture that that isn't necessarily a bad place. It might feel like a bad place to be, but it's not a bad place to be, to feel weak and powerless, because in that place, we rely on the power of God and his strength. So if we're proud and we think we're okay, rely on the strength of God, be humbled before him and rely on God's strength. If we're feeling weak and powerless, turn to God and say, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it in my own strength. I need your help. Let's pray. Lord, teach us what it is to be faithful. We can't be faithful in our own strength or our own power, but we can be when you help us. So whatever your people are facing today, maybe there is fear about the pandemic, fear about work, fear for our children or grandchildren. And we need to be faithful. And so help us to be people who encourage, who pray, who turn to you, who listen for what you are saying in the midst of everything that is happening. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.